listening to How You Doin' Bay County, a mental health matters podcast with a local twist. Hey there, How You Doin' Bay County? I'm Kelly Mustaine, the Executive Director of Alignment Bay County, also known as ABC. And co-hosting with me today is ABC board member and community advocate, Ms. Sonia Caldwell. How you doing there, Sonia?
I'm doing great. Feels great to be back.
We're glad you're back. Before we begin with today's guest, I wanted to share a little about our organization and the purpose of this podcast. How You Doin' Bay County is an initiative by Alignment Bay County, which is a local, nonprofit, collective impact organization. We're focused on youth success from cradle to career, and one way we do that is by supporting families and our community as a whole.
It's no secret that things have been difficult and challenging here in Bay County. ABC, along with our partner organizations, noticed that both our children and adults in our area were struggling with their mental health and positive well-being. We also noticed folks simply asking each other, how you doing? That question, along with the stress of the last few years, inspired us to create a local mental health resource. First, a website, howyoudoing.org, which has a local behavioral health directory as well as other resources, and this podcast, How You Doin' Bay County. Our goal is to make finding behavioral health resources easier for our community and bring awareness that your mental health matters. On today's episode, we're welcoming Kelly Langenberg from the Bay Education Foundation and one of her Take Stock in Children mentors, Lynn Dalbertis, to discuss how their program impacts the well-being of our school-age youth. Hey there, guys. Ladies, how you doing?
We're doing well.
Now, when you say well, how are you doing after all of the COVID? How are you doing after Hurricane Michael? How are you doing? How are you grounding? How are you balancing? How are you keeping it together?
That's really a good question. I just recently retired. I was a teacher and a school administrator and a district administrator, and went back, retired, and then went into the corporate world for 5 years, decided that wasn't my jam, and wanted to spend my last year back where my jam is, which is teaching. And so I went back and taught for a year during the COVID situation. And that was definitely an eye-opening experience for the things that our community was going through. Just being there and being able to help support students, teachers, staff, parents through this difficult time, it was a real joy to be a part of something that was helping the better community.
And thank you for coming back on the front lines at a time like that when our community really needed you. Like, that is so important, because that was critical right then. So many teachers and administrators did need to come back, and that wasn't easy to come back during that time. So I just want to say on behalf of Bay County and Alignment Bay that I really appreciate that.
It was my joy too. It was amazing just to see the teachers step up and help out these kids, because it was tough. It was tough.
What is it that you taught?
I taught science, and I taught it. I taught all the kids. I taught the lowest performing students as well as the high flyer honor students. And it didn't impact a certain one group. It impacted everybody. And it was just such a joy to make science a real life, which is usually a very hands-on situation. In a place of COVID was a little difficult, but I set up plexiglass frames so that my students could still actively do labs and be a part of a real learning experience. Because, I mean, not only had they gone through COVID, they'd gone through Michael. So it had been tough. They really hadn't had a good solid year of academics, and I was very thankful that I was able to give that to them.
And to be able to give them the hands-on learning, that is so important.
So important, especially with science.
Yes.
Learn by doing.
Absolutely. Kinesthetic. Mm-hmm. I love kinesthetic learning opportunities for children, because we know through the stats that when we're engaged in the learning process, it connects quickly and long term, you know, like our muscle memory we talk about.
That is correct.
I didn't get the double whammy that a lot of folks in Bay County got, because I didn't live here during Hurricane Michael. I lived in Chicago, Illinois, and when the pandemic happened for me, it was a real opportunity to just make some changes in my life that I wanted to make but didn't feel I was able to. So prior to that time, I was teaching at Northern Illinois University. I was teaching music as a professor there and freelancing as a classical musician and touring. I mean, I had a really fun life, but
wonderful.
It was wonderful, but there, as a mom to young children, my daughters were just in like kindergarten through first and second grade during that time. It was really, you have, if you're not working, you feel guilty that you're at home as a freelancer. And if you're working, you feel guilty that you're not fulfilling your family responsibilities. So I couldn't, I really struggled to find that balance personally. And when the pandemic happened and I was at home, I was like, wow, I've been missing so much. And so it was just gave me an opportunity to make some changes. And so my husband and I came down here to visit some family that we have living in Bay County. Actually living over in Walton County. Mm-hmm. And 2 months later, we sold our house and moved here, like just on a whim. I was still able to teach online for that following year. So I didn't really have to give up my work or try to find new work at the time. And then just decided like online teaching really isn't for me because I want the connection with the students. Right.
Especially with music. That's got to be hard. You can't show them.
It was, and you know, if you think about trying to teach music through technology, when you're together, that's fine. But when you're doing that through microphones and headphones and you're trying to like help someone understand timbral changes with their instruments and like evaluating rhythm when you have like little lapses in the connection.
And even with the fingers, my son was a bassoonist. And even, you know, his teachers had sometimes just to move the fingers here. You need to be there. It's small adjustments.
Yeah.
That would be hard to do that.
It was impossible to teach the full student through that online medium. But I also knew that I was interested in working at a different kind of level. I've always enjoyed like being the cheerleader and not necessarily the person that's on stage anyway. And I was the person on stage and was looking to be a little more the person that supports the people on stage. And so I was doing a certificate in nonprofit management and really looking to move into that area anyway, because I felt like I could have a greater impact. And so that's kind of how I found my way to the Bay Education Foundation. And I still teach music. I teach here at Gulf Coast and do, you know, I will travel for little weekends to do like run out performances. French horn is my instrument.
Okay.
So I still do quite a bit of that, but I'm really, really happy to have found the Bay Ed Foundation and to get to work with our mentors like Dr. Dalbertus and so many of our other more than 90 mentors that we have in our program.
Well, that's great.
Excellent.
I think that's interesting. You talk about the, you know, the catch 22 of being a mom and working outside the home and working inside the home. And that's probably a good topic for a podcast. So I think there's a lot of us that have felt that way.
Yeah.
So, well, that's great. And can you tell us more about the Bay Education Foundation and specifically Take Stock in Children?
Absolutely. So the Bay Education Foundation runs several programs, Take Stock in Children being one of our biggest and most public programs. We are a 501c3 for Bay District Schools. So we're a direct support organization. We exist primarily and fundamentally to support Bay District Schools. And so we do that through some of the other programs that we run. We do have a 18-member board of directors. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the programs that we offer. Grants for Great Ideas is one of our biggest financial programs. Those are classroom grants for teachers in Bay District Schools, up to $1,000 in grants. And in 21-22, we funded $126,000 worth of grants. So we fundraise half of that money, and then we grant write for the other half of that money, and that's how we're able to come up with the funds for that. And so we're hoping this year to be able to do about $100,000 in classroom grants. That's what we're hoping to budget for. We also do employee tuition assistance. So if we have teachers or any BDS personnel that are interested in certifications, they can apply for funds through the Bay Ed Foundation. And last year we gave away just a little over $25,000 worth of certifications and continuing education classes. We fund Awards of Excellence, which is a teacher retention program. So if you've heard of Teacher of the Year, Support Employee of the Year, Rookie of the Year, those are some of the programs that we help to support in Bay District Schools. And you may have heard that our Support Employee of the Year last year won. He works at Highland Park Elementary, and he won at the state level. This is a statewide program.
Okay.
We compete starting at the building level, so from the building up from there. So, yeah, that's
something,
really
right?
Exciting,
that's a big deal.
Us. Yeah, we've had other winners over the years too. Some other teachers.
So, what is the main mission to what enhance and support the your what type of children qualify for programming for Take Stock in Children? Because I don't think people are clear with that.
No, well, so Take Stock in Children is one program that we run, but we are okay. here to support all of the students and teachers in Bay District Schools. So our okay. mission, our actual mission is the purpose of the Bay Education Foundation is to support the educational development of our students by providing enhanced opportunities for a quality education and promoting greater community involvement in education.
Okay.
So I'd love to bounce now over to Take Stock and just talk a little bit okay. about that program. So your question was?
What type of students qualify or what type of programs are available for parents who may not have heard about the program and not realize these resources are available? Because I know when my kids were in school, I was a hands-on mommy. I was in PTA. But some of the working moms didn't know about the APs, the honors. They didn't know how the kids tested, how they get credits for college. A lot of parents don't really understand that. So just to give some clarity to some of the Bay County parents that may not be aware of the resources that are available with college costs going up so high right now. I know parents are looking for scholarships and grants. They're looking for summer camps for their kids. I know every summer my kids went to speech and debate or engineering camp or something of that nature to help them get clarity about their future goals. So parents who may be looking for that right now, whose kids are in junior year in high school or either middle school, where would this benefit a child?
Yeah, well, thank goodness we have guidance counselors at the schools who can help us with so many of those different pieces. So the Take Stock program would enroll students who are in ninth grade or rising ninth graders into the program. The families that would apply for the Take Stock program would be families that have financial need. We, as part of the application process, ask families to submit their tax documents so we can verify that. And that's the first step toward being admitted into the program. Students write short essays, parents write essays, and then we have a committee that evaluates those applications. Students also need to already be excelling academically. So pretty strong grades, not mm-hmm. straight A's, but not really anything lower than C's is what we're looking for, an overall GPA of 2.0. And good attendance and very few, preferably none at all, behavior referrals. Mm-hmm. So those are the different pieces that we look at when looking at applications for students in the Take Stock program.
Applications for the program?
They absolutely. Those are that's our main resource for finding students in the program. Teachers don't always know what the financial situation is, but they can definitely help us spot students that would be good fit for the program.
Do you know about how many kids apply every year, and how many are you usually able to take into the program?
Well, I don't know how many apply because this will be my first year going through the application process, but I know that ideally we'd like to take between 20 and 25 students per class. Okay. So that will help us get, we would like to have about 100 students in our program, so that would give us about 25 at each grade level.
And then those students are at different high schools, correct? And then mm-hmm. they kind of come together as a cohort to support each other and do things together, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We run 4 workshops each academic year, and we also do individual college coaching visits mm-hmm. with the students where we go out to the schools and meet with them. And then we have other opportunities available to the students throughout the year, too, including the group community service events.
That's great.
And you have mentors. You mentioned that you have so many mentors that are involved with your organization. What is the requirement? What are you looking for your mentors?
Well, I'd love for Dr. Delbertus to speak to this too. But what we're looking for in a mentor is number one priority, like, do you care about kids? So that's the very, very first aspect. I know a lot of folks who are interested in mentoring want to know, like, what the educational background requirements are. Like, we really don't have anything.
So more empathy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And can you be an adult who can have a conversation with someone who needs some guidance? So it's more about being like a life coach and not so much about being an academic mentor.
Okay. And before we move to Lynn Delbertus.
Dr. D.
Dr. D. Dr. D. Get that Dr. D. Is there intense training for the mentors involved?
Not intense by any means, we do, they'll fill out, it's a pretty simple application online, and then we'll do just a quick background check with the sheriff's department. Okay. And then we have a 25-minute video that they watch from the state of Florida. And then we did this year, like a live in-person mentor training session, which so many of our mentors attended. It was really awesome.
Nice.
But if you can't come to that training session, we've sat and recorded it in my office later that afternoon. Okay. So that's a hoot. And we just send that out to people who are interested, who want to take that final step of getting trained to be a mentor. And from there, we invite the mentors to what we call tailgate session, which is where we introduce the students to their new mentors in a group setting. And then from there, it's that now the mentor starts building the relationship with the student individually.
And then they stay with that student for their 4 years in high school. As long as they're with the program, they stay with that student.
If the mentor would like to, we ask for that 1 year commitment.
Okay.
But we do have, and I know Dr. D has stayed with the students for much longer than that.
Yeah, and I was going to interject too. I love how Bay Education Foundation has gone through the process of matching the mentor to the student. This is my second round. I've already taken one child through it all.
Through 4 years?
It was more than four, because back then we pulled in middle school kids. So I had my student in seventh grade, and she went through all the way through high school, got her ACE diploma at Bay, turned around and went to University of West Florida and got her bachelor's degree, and then also went forward and got her master's degree in forensics. And I have been with her through that whole step of all of it. Made a deal with her that if she got her master's, I would take her to Ireland. So we're working on that.
Oh, wonderful.
I was at her wedding, and she is now working in forensics. So it's not a let me sit down with you and fuss with you about your grades, and that is not what it's about. It's about building a relationship with a student and teaching them how to grow and how to maintain strong, long-term, short-term goals, how to build skills, how to learn to self-advocate for themselves, how to learn to navigate the system, because like you had mentioned before, some of these students don't have a family background where their families have gone to college and done the dual enrollment and done AP classes, so they don't have that scaffolding knowledge. And so as a mentor, you can kind of not hard-nosed, but you can just interject, hey, have you thought about taking an AP class? What are your interests? You know, and that is something that the Bay Education Foundation did so well, was matching the mentor with the students so that we had likes already that we shared, and it made it so easy to bond with the student. And while, yes, I made a year commitment, young lady that I have now, I had her last year, but I was lucky enough to have been her teacher in eighth grade. So we already had a relationship, but it's wonderful to watch her grow because she was not as self-assured as she is becoming. And so as a mentor, to be able to watch and help her get the help she needs when she needs it. Because let's just be real. Life is hard right now. And sometimes math hurts, chemistry hurts, and AP chemistry is kicking her rear end or whatever. You know, sitting down and having the conversations with them as a mentor to say, okay, what can I do to get you help? Do you need a tutor? Do we need to get you a learning lab? What can we do? And Bay Education Foundation is so good about pulling in resources to help these students with what is needed that it allows the student to kind of exhale and know that they're not in this by themselves and we're there to help them. And if they have a hiccup, it's okay. Yes, you might go on probation, but it's okay because we can walk you back out as you build yourself up. And that is how they learn to self-advocate. And it's one of the things I love about the program.
And even learning, like you said, the opportunities, because they've never weaved that before. It's so many kids right now, if we would talk to them in middle school about the AP Honors classes, they could have their associate by the time they leave high school.
That is exactly what my mentee did.
Yeah, and now with the cost of college, why aren't we making sure that children have that? And then that way, when we look at economics and we talk about our society right now, if we made sure these kids could have an associate when they leave high school, look at the job opportunities in the medical field, phlebotomist. Yeah, it's so many jobs they could get right now, professional jobs, making good money.
Well, and that's the cool thing about this program is this program allows you to use this at a vocational school as well as at the college.
So I didn't know
not
that.
Only could this child get like an AA degree, they could be going to Haney.
Electricians, look at all the electricians. Welders.
Yeah. There are so many opportunities.
Plumbers, I need one now.
Nurses. Yeah. I mean, we're really struggling to keep nurses in the medical field right now. So there are just so many different opportunities for these students that this program is so wonderful in helping these kids get that extra help. And then to me, because I'm there at Arnold doing my mentor, I'm seeing my students that I had before, and they see me and they talk to me and they ask me questions. So when you're a mentor, you don't just mentor that one kid, you mentor her friends too. So it kind of gives you that opportunity to say, hey, are you doing this? And I have to say one thing about Bay District Schools that I have always loved being a part of, and that is they are so good about giving students opportunities. It's just a matter of paying attention and getting the message out, because I know so many students that have almost earned an AA degree, walked across the stage. When I watched my granddaughter graduate 2 years ago, one of her fellow classmates got their high school diploma, walked six steps, and got their AA diploma from Gulf Coast.
Come on.
And what a wonderful thing to see, that opportunity.
And it's
available. She saved her family a lot of money, but she also took a lot of pride in that, and it gave her the boost up to keep it going.
Right, and look at the empowerment when we're talking about mental health and self-esteem. Those are the things that keep the light on for our kids right now. We have so many kids in our community that are struggling with suicide right now. We have to talk about it on almost every episode because it's something we want to keep at the forefront of families. Pay attention to what's going on with your kids. If you're seeing any changes, if they're no longer have an interest in school, not doing homework, not playing with their friends, you know, pay attention, guys. It's really, really critical. It's just kind of scary to me right now, and I just want to throw that out there. So whenever we can push for excellence within our children and utilize all these programs that we have within Bay County, Bay District Schools, Alignment Bay, Take Stock in Education, Bay Education Foundation, is critical that we collaborate and connect together so we can make sure the kids realize they are supported, that they do have resources available here. And it's great to know. I knew nothing about the vocational aspect of that. Yeah. So that's excellent. Because they're saying statistically, when they're looking at education in the next 20 years, vocational is going to become more and more important, if you want to speak to that.
Well, if you look at the statistics, the Department of Ed says right now that most of the jobs coming forward in the next 10 years, only 40% are going to require a college degree, that 60% are going to be more in the vocational and more oriented in the skills CAPE kind of facility. So you're probably better off going towards the vocational angle. And I want to address one thing you said about suicide, if you don't mind, just in case we have students listening. Students, you know that favorite teacher you have? If you ever feel like you are on the down and out, you go see that teacher, because there is not a teacher that wouldn't want to sit and listen.
And remember, you are not alone out there. There are other kids feeling like you.
Yep.
And like you do have the guidance counselors and teachers to talk about, and you reach out. You
yes.
are not alone. Remember that.
Ever.
Yep. Remember 988. That's our new national yes. lifeline that just went online this summer. So 988, if you need to reach out, there's someone always there. So I think this trans goes well to see, like, especially you were in the schools and you were also with college children. Like, at this time, we've been through so much here locally in Bay County, and just in the nation, the kids have been through so much through the pandemic, but especially here in Bay County with the 1-2 punch of yep. the hurricane. When you were in the classroom, what sort of challenges do you see these children, especially the ones that would be eligible for Take Stock? What do you see them dealing with on a day-to-day basis?
These students, like we said before, have difficulty navigating a system they don't know. So the first challenge they have is being able to take that step to reach out and ask questions. And that's difficult for some kids, because some kids don't have the best situation at home, and so they're not used to being heard. So sometimes they have a hard time asking questions. And so that's one of the tough things, is feeling like they have a voice and that voice should be heard. So that's one of the first things I work on as a mentor, is making sure that my mentee feels like she has a voice and a voice is worth being listened to. How to balance the academic life with your extracurricular social life. Because, you know, kids are social. We know it. Look at TikTok and chat rooms and everything else. These kids, they're out there, and they have to learn how to balance their academic life with that and find something that works for them and doesn't control them. And that's kind of hard, because it's important to be popular or to be noticed when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. And so that's where they get that. And yeah. it's kind of difficult to tell them it's okay to put the phone down every now and then.
And that's what I was going to ask about. How do you manage technology in this learning environment?
It depends on the school. Some schools will make you just put the phone away. I'm a techie person, so I was that teacher back in the day, put your phone away. But my last year teaching, I pulled it out and let them use it. I didn't let them use it all the time, but there were times when they could, and they knew then that that was special. Okay, everyone, let's get on your phone and go look up, and we'd look up a new science word or something. To teach them that there's more than one way to use yeah. the phone. Mm-hmm. It could be a piece of information searching. And then we talked about reliable resources mm-hmm. and things like that, which is an important critical thinking skill for them to learn. Mm-hmm. And so I used it that way. And then, you know, they in middle school all have a Chromebook. So they're already using technology some. And we just put some parameters on it, you know. Yeah. We kind of had Go Guardian and, you know, you can't go to this site, you can't go to this site. And so it kind of helped them see that there might be a reason to be careful about where you go, yeah. what you say. And it, you know, when I was a kid, you could go do things at spring break and you were not going to be found out, because nobody was going to know. Nowadays, yeah. you can't do that. Everybody sees everything. And so they have to be careful what you post. It could be there forever. And so, you know, be careful about what you do. Make sure you self-preservate, you know?
I don't envy these kids these days. I was telling, I have a high schooler, and I was telling them that I was like, I do not envy you, because, like, think about, like, the silliest, dumbest thing you did in high school, and now it's copy, paste, shared, posted, mm-hmm. viral. Like, I just can't even imagine, like, the stress of that. Yeah, the stress of that, and just how pervasive it is. And even, you know, talking with a group of teens, they were talking about how, like, they can never get away. Like, their teachers can always get to them. Their parents can always get to them. Their friends can always get, like, there's, it's like, you've got to, like, cut it off, you know? And so it, as much as it's a tool, you know, how amazing it is to have a computer in our pocket that we can do everything with, like, you know, it blows my mind to even think about it sometimes, how far they've come. Yes. But at the other time, it's like, ooh, this, we've never parented a generation through this kind of connectivity. And, like, what's that going to look like?
You know? And the mental stress that it puts on students that we never went
through. Oh, absolutely.
And parents. I was at U of M this summer at a University of Michigan game, and we were with the parents after. And they were telling us, you know, my kids are in their early 30s now, and then their kids are still in college. And they were saying the kids look on Facebook and say, Mom, why didn't we go to Greece this summer? You know, that it even puts the pressure on the parents. Like, and my friend was like, you know, was it, you know, Hilton Head good enough? You know,
Hilton Head's amazing.
Yeah, but yeah, but it's a lot of pressure on parents. Like, look what they're doing. Yeah. Look at their photos. I mean, you know, so it really, it
magnifies the haves and have nots.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Yeah. Even, and this is a little bit off, but Disney, this new timing thing they're doing. So if you pay your way through.
Don't get me started, Miss Sonia.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, another show. But
no,
I'm
no,
just
no. Saying, I mean, like, seriously, the whole genie thing. Yeah, don't get me started.
Yeah, that's kind of, that takes the fun out of it a bit.
It does.
I mean, part of the fun was waiting in line, even though we hated it.
Well,
you know?
And think of the conversations and the people that you met.
Absolutely.
And the growth that happened while you were standing in line, meeting other people. I had a friend that was telling me that she and a friend of hers were driving to a soccer game, had their two kids in the back. They were in the front driving. The two kids never talked. They texted.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't want us to lose that, because that one-on-one and being in the moment is just so important for your mental health, that to think that we're excusing it away because they're on their phone and using the phone even as a babysitter for some younger kids. It's just, it's a scary thing. And it's one of the things I have spent some time talking to my mentees about. Yes, the phone's a great tool, but don't let it disassociate you with people.
Yeah.
You think that you're socially interacting, but you're really not.
Yeah.
There's so much that you lose in just the typing of it. Just, you know, like what people mean, what's being implied, how it's being said. You lose all that. And if you're not doing that in person, that's like, that's kind of a maturity that they don't get to understand.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. It's all written the same way.
Yeah. So, I mean, they lose that.
Yeah. And eye contact.
Yes.
Young people, they don't have good eye contact at all. It's very challenging for them to make eye contact.
And they think you're staring at them if you do.
I know.
At the same time, you see the way that students try to write proper emails, and you're like, if we're typing... Oh, texting all the time. Yeah. Why does our writing look like this?
I know.
Well, because I don't use punctuation, and I'm told I'm an oldie now because I use punctuation in my text. So I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't help it. Like,
it's one way to be clear.
So.
Oh my gosh. OMG.
Yeah.
But going back to the technology and either the prohibition of it or the embracing of it, I'm along with Dr. Daubert, is that it's like, this is not going away. Mm-hmm. It's only going to become more a part of our future. And so let's figure out how to live with it and work with it. And then it can become an educational tool. Like, it's very, what a value to have in your pocket at all times. Mm-hmm. But there was some sort of beauty in just like asking a question and not being able to know the answer to it, or just thinking about what the different answers. Yes, pondering. It's just not something we really have to do anymore.
No.
But my kids did this weekend create an 8-slide PowerPoint presentation about why they thought I should buy them a VR headset.
So
that was really interesting.
I'm impressed with that, though.
For 10-year-olds to
like
use the technology.
Convince me.
Oh, no, I'm impressed with that. I'd probably give in.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about the VR headset is that the battery doesn't last so long on it, so it's kind of self-limiting. So it's like, all right, once it's dead, it's dead.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Love it. But now that's the way to use it as a tool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now,
it doesn't control you. you're controlling it.
Absolutely.
Teaching our children how to use that technology and not being afraid of it.
I mean, they're pretty great at doing that. I like that, Mom. See, that works in my house. If you can prove your point, I had a kid, my Lincoln Douglas debate kid, Calvin. Calvin was that kid.
I have a Calvin, and he was the same way.
Oh, yeah. That Calvin, he could convince Mom. You know, as long as you can present, we can work through it.
So how have you seen the differences in these kids that have gone through the program, especially because you've been doing Take Stock for a while, Dr. D? So, like, what have you seen, the transformations or the successes or the wins that these kids have gotten that have just made a difference to them?
Watching these kids grow and gaining the skills as they move from level to level, it's just amazing to remember. And I kept the picture of my mentee when we first met at the first meeting. And I look at that picture and I look at who she is now. She's getting ready to be a mom. And just to watch the growth of her, and not just becoming a young woman, but becoming self-reliant, becoming a citizen, a concerned citizen. She even called me and she said, you know, Dr. D, how can I get involved in this? I want to be a mentor. My heart just sank. I thought, how wonderful that you, I mean, it was like, oh, you just touched my deepest part of my heart, because.
Passing it on.
Yes. And to see people pay it forward. And that's what I see.
That's what it's all about.
I've even seen kids who didn't really finish the program. Sometimes, I don't know, maybe something happened and they couldn't finish college. But I still see them, and they still grew, even though they didn't get to finish the full scholarship. They do have a career, and they're involving themselves in the community. And when I ask them, hey, what do you think Taking Stock did for you? They're like, oh, I wouldn't have the job I have right now. Wow. I wouldn't be able to do, you know, X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to know that I was a part of watching that growth happen, and that anyone who just cares about kids can be that mentor.
Planting seeds.
Yep. Some kids are going to get that no matter what. There's some kids that are, you know, they're going to get to college no matter what. They're going to get their program. They have people, you know, helping them and helping them figure out that system. But, like, the ones that pull at your heart is the lost potential of those kids that don't have someone holding their hand through that system and telling them there's bigger stuff out there. There's better stuff out there. This, you know, you don't have to keep rewriting the same history over and over.
I call them opportunities offered.
Oh, it's wonderful that we can do that. And I know through Elevate Bay, they're doing that as well. Mm-hmm. And that we have those opportunities in our community to get to those kids.
You know, so much of it is about awareness. Just kids not knowing, just like in the consumer products industry and Pepsi, Coke, Frito-Lay. A lot of kids don't know that those truck jobs that you see stocking those jobs pay $50,000. They start $35,000 to $50,000, kids. And you need a high school diploma and a CDL. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you're well on your way with great benefits and everything. And I just want to say that here because it breaks my heart a little bit in Bay County. A lot of children that can't afford college, they end up working in our service industry, which is needed. But sometimes, too, you know, I just want to speak on this. I may be out of line. You know, we have to be careful, and we all recognize there are a lot of drugs in our community on the beach, and a lot of our kids that have so much potential kind of fall between the cracks, thinking maybe that's their only option. So we need to really keep pushing vocational, keep pushing these CDLs, letting them know that, yes, that's a great opportunity. Nothing against service. You know, I was a waitress in college, and I loved that daily money. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. So I get it. But, you know, there are other opportunities, and you can do both sometime. You can waitress and have a career and benefits for your family, because we need home ownership in Bay County. I know that's, you know, just want to say that's important to keep our community strong. So when we're looking at Bay County, we're looking at a strong community that's healthy in every way, mm-hmm. intellectually, emotionally, economically. And it takes all of us working together to make that happen. And that's through awareness and education.
Where kids feel like they have a place in the future to work and earn a living enough to support their family.
Absolutely. Because we want you to stay here when you get your education. We don't want you to move away and have to go somewhere else to build your family. We want you to stay here and know you are supported. You have a foundation here. You have a family with the Bay Education Foundation. You have a family with Alignment Bay. You have a family here in Bay County.
Or go away and then come back.
That's great. And that's exactly what my son did.
Yeah, and I did too.
He moved away, but he came back.
Okay.
And he's now a business owner here.
Okay. Yeah.
Spend a couple years out seeing, aspiring, what are other organizations doing, get some fresh ideas, and then bring them back and do what you're going
to
do.
And Kelly, we are so happy to have you from Chicago. We are glad that you decided to come down south.
Yeah.
To Bay County and bring your expertise to you and your family. You know, thank you so much for making the decision to come here and bring your resources and gifts as well. You know, that's what builds a community. You know, our transplant, I'm a transplant as well. We're very important to helping the area. I think everybody at this table maybe accept
you.
No,
I'm a transplant.
Okay, we're all transplants, but we're all working here on behalf of Bay County. We're all, you know, giving our service, so.
Yeah, I love it here. I love it here. Now, I was not prepared for the cultural shift from the Chicago suburbs to the Florida panhandle. So that was something that was a little jarring, but I'm an outdoor girl, and being able to run outside all year long, I would take that over any Chicago winter.
I don't know. Well, Chicago winters, but the summers at Millennium Park and all that, and Navy Pier, it's you had a pretty good life up there, shy. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Great museums and galleries. We can't throw Chicago out the window. Oh, no.
But then come January, I would rather be
the windy city.
Well, and I was going to say, I'm a transplant, but I'm a Florida girl, so... Yeah. I was in Central Florida and came up here, and I told someone how cold it was here, and they go, this isn't cold, you need to go up north. I'm like, this is as far north as I will ever be.
This is a little Florida. Too cold for me in the winter. I'm like, wait, this is Florida.
What's I don't go so north after Labor Day too much anymore. I'm done. Yeah, but I love Chicago, and I love all that in the summer.
So, Ms. Kelly, if you all, I guess, from year to year need about 100 mentors at any given time. So if you have, there's somebody listening today that would like to get involved, what should they do?
Well, they can go to our website, which is bayeducationfoundation.org, and click on the mentors tab. And there's an FAQ there that I put together a couple of months ago. And then at the bottom, there's a link to the application. And so it would just be that simple. If they had any questions, they could feel free to call or email. We'd be happy to talk to them up front, too.
And then I don't think we touched on it. What is the monthly commitment?
The commitment for the mentors, it's lunch twice a month.
Okay.
So our hashtag is change a life over lunch.
Great. And then if there is a listener that would like to have their child apply for the next cohort of kids, what should they do?
Well, for now, they can just sit tight or send me an email. We are in the wonderful position for perhaps the first time ever to be able to bring in a class in the fall semester. So traditionally, we've only ever opened the enrollment up for about a month in the spring. This year, we're going to be able to do it in the fall, which is really exciting because we can't bring students in until we have mentors ready to pair with them. We have a very, very, very small mentor waiting list at this point, which is amazing. And it just speaks to the overall kindness and givingness of this community and the compassion for the students in the community. So we're going to be able to take in a couple, maybe 10 to 15 students here in the fall. Yeah. And then we'll do it another one in the spring. And they can send me an email or they can reach out to us through the website again.
And then when you take applications for new students, it's just ninth graders. Like do you ever take in juniors who are right, or they need to do the full high school program?
At this point for the fall, it would be just ninth graders.
Yeah. Okay.
In the spring, it will be eighth, ninth, and we would consider some rising 10th graders as
well.
Okay,
that's good to know.
Yeah, because I would think sometimes you do have families coming in like yours who may benefit from the program and just they weren't living in the area at the time.
Right. Right.
You know, you do take a look at that if needed.
Okay. We have so many new families in all the time. It's crazy how it's growing so fast. So I think we will link back to emails and websites and Facebook pages. We'll do all that in the notes. So please check out our resource area for how to get in touch with Kelly and the program.
Thank you so much for being here today and sharing about your important work with the Bay Education Foundation and Take Stock in Children listeners. If you're in the Bay County area and would like to get involved, please reach out to Kelly and her organization. You can find more at bayeducationfoundation.org.
Thanks again for being here, ladies. We appreciate what you're doing for these kids out there. For more information about today's episodes and other resources, please visit our website, www.howdoin.org, or visit the ABC Facebook page. Thanks for listening today. After everything our community has been through, it's so important for us to check on each other. We encourage you to take the time each day to really ask your friends and neighbors, how you doing? How You Doing Bay County is meant for informational purposes only and should not be substituted for mental health care from a licensed professional. And last but not least, this podcast is produced by the talented students in the digital media program at Gulf Coast State College. Go Commodores!